In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this a time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It's not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
Thanks, Amber. I'm going to invite both Len and Linda to come up to the front now, because we're about to hear what Len has to say. But I would wonder, Linda, would you mind introducing the two of you as you did yesterday morning? Because it's lovely to know a little bit about you.
Hello, church. I'm Linda, and this is my husband, Len. We have been so blessed over these last few days getting to know a few of you much more than just coming to a Sunday church. So we really thank you for that opportunity. So Len and I, we've been married 40 years at the end of this month on his birthday, so he would never forget our anniversary. And half of our marriage we've lived in South Africa, and the other half we've actually lived in New Zealand. So some of you will understand our accent, even though we're from New Zealand. And we have two beautiful daughters who married two amazing Kiwi men, one from the North Island, one from the South Island. The one has two boys, and the other family has two girls. So we've been incredibly blessed in New Zealand. It has received us with open arms, and we absolutely, with our whole heart, call it home. So we know that this is the last time we're with you of this weekend, and we trust in God is going to even be the best. Because, you know, any time a relationship is deepened, intimacy comes out of it. And so I pray that as Len ministers to you about the Holy Spirit, you'll understand that whole level of what God really did for us when he sent the Holy Spirit, that he never left us as orphans. So that's a little bit about us, and thank you for the stories that I've picked up since we've been with you, and I'm going to take them home. They're going to be in my heart. And we always go back full. As I said, one of the meetings, I always leave a little bit of space in my spiritual suitcase, because I take something home of the heart of Jesus in your lives, your stories, your journeys, your fears, your victories. So I look excited when I get back and I open that suitcase and I have names and I have places. So thank you very much for having us again, and be blessed.
Thank you so much, Linda. And Len, it's over to you for the message that you've got to bring for us this morning. Yes, we're ready. Are we ready, everybody, for the yes, we're ready?
The light is on. We have power. There we are. Power in the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, chapter 1:1-8. Very powerful part of scripture that we're going to go over this morning. But just to also just take the opportunity to thank you. Thank you, Reverend Mark, for having us. We feel really connected with you after being with you for 4 days, and we see familiar faces, and we've felt very welcome here at Oak Tree, and we do have an expectation, if I can speak to this, that's on my heart, we have an expectation that the Lord has got good work for you to continue to do. And one of the anointings that I sense very strongly over your house is this area of Luke 4:18, Isaiah 61, where it says the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus We know that he was baptized in the Holy Spirit in the Jordan with John the Baptist. And the Father said, interesting promise of the Father, you know, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You know, Jesus could leave that, you know, he could have gone to heaven at that point. His Father loved him, and he hadn't done anything that to deserve that. He just received that from the Father. But it says the Holy Spirit drove him into the desert. It's when he came out of the desert of being tempted by the devil, and he came into his hometown. He picked up the scroll of Isaiah 61, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's called me to preach the good news, to heal the brokenhearted and set at liberty those who are in captivity, recovery of sight of the blind, and to, you know, work with those that have been in prison and oppressed. See that anointing on you to work with people that are going to come in to be healed and restored upon your, you know, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you in a great way to achieve and to fulfill that work of the Lord Jesus. So I want to encourage you in that. It's something that I sensed over the whole time we were together. And the other thing I saw in your house is that it's a house of worship. There's something about beautiful worship that is in this house that God has, you know, anointed you with. And I'm going to come back to that because I really believe it's something that God is, you know, outworking in you in a very wonderful way. And you'll see a result of that as you worship God. God will come back, heal, restore, and set the captives free. Amen. So receive you. You are actually have a house rich in God. You know, from what I see, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. He's working in you and working in your hearts. So I said to Reverend Mark, I really believe the house is filled with quality people. And I don't say that lightly. God is at work in the midst of you. Amen. So I'm going to just speak a little bit about Luke 24, 47, or 48 to 49, which was really Luke writing. And we know that Luke also wrote the book of Acts, but he writes at the end of Luke just about, you know, the promise of Jesus, and he says in verse 48, "You are witnesses of these things." The disciples had witnessed the works of Jesus, and they needed to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, but they needed something to happen, and Jesus recognized this, and he said, "Behold, I will send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry," in other words, "wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Isn't that amazing? Just wait. You know, it's hard to wait. Sometimes you've got to wait and meditate on God's word and on these promises. Acts 1, 4 to 5 repeats that. This is Jesus speaking to them. It says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, from John, who truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So the Holy Spirit comes to baptize us in the fullness of Jesus. He is the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father for us. The church, individually, corporately, he comes to empower us to do the work. In verse 8 of Acts 1, it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." God is saying, when you receive power, you become a willing witness for him, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful privilege to understand that we are filled with the Spirit when we have the opportunity to come. We receive the Lord Jesus in our hearts and we say yes to him. And, you know, the word says in John 3, "Unless a man is born again, he shall not see the kingdom." Once you are born again, you see the kingdom that Jesus speaks about. And it's a beautiful promise of the empowerment that comes upon us subsequent to conversion. God promises us much more to come upon us, that we will be filled with the Holy Spirit in a new and a powerful way. So I just really want to say to you today, it's a day of refreshing. If you haven't been empowered with the Holy Spirit, we'd love to minister to you. And I know there'll be opportunity to do that. And we've prayed for a number of folks so far that have broken through and speak in tongues and filled with the Holy Spirit. And I love that because God just uses you at a new level. You have a new confidence, like Peter when he stood up and said, "This is that was spoken by the prophet Joel, where God said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters, they shall do what? They shall prophesy. Your young men will have visions. Your old men will have dreams. Upon my maidservants and my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days." And what a wonderful promise that young men, you will have visions. Old men, you will have dreams. It doesn't speak about age. It speaks about maturity in God. As we mature in God, we start dreaming a bit more. And often we have dreams as we get older that haven't been fulfilled yet. God stirs up those dreams in your life to follow Him. But I love the fact that the Holy Spirit, when He came, we started speaking the word of the Lord, edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's why prophecy is such a powerful gift in the body of Christ. It builds us up, it stirs us up, it cheers us up to keep going on, because we need perseverance, we need that ability to keep on pressing in to what God has promised us as individuals and as a people of God. Amen. So I want to say to you, seek the Holy Spirit. He's our comforter. The word, often Scripture uses the word helper. The old King James used the word comforter. But really, it's the word called paraclete or parakletos. It means the one that's called to be alongside us. He helps us with our decisions. He guides us into all truth. He walks with us through difficulty. And He helps us to overcome the aggression that the world brings towards us. And we become overcomers because of what Jesus has done through the power of the Spirit. I could never do this job in my own strength. I've absolutely come to that full conclusion that it's got to be the power of the Spirit, not in my might, not in my power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. And God wants us to find our place of opportunity in the body of Christ to serve Him in the power of the Holy Spirit. Have the fruits of the Spirit operating as well as the gifts, the balance that we need in our lives. Look, God gives us mercy to overcome. At times when people are hostile towards us, the mercy of God rises up. The fruit of the Spirit gives us love, gives us the ability to know the joy of the Lord to be my strength, to know that the peace of God, no matter what's going on, will, you know, it'll surpass my mind and my heart. It'll just give me strength to walk this journey that God has called me to walk. Because the fruits strengthen me in the characteristics. God works on your temperament through the Holy Spirit. The sanctification process of the Spirit of God is at work upon the church. Why? Because He wants us to look more like Jesus. And His role, the role of the Spirit, is to point us to the Lord Jesus continuously as we walk our journey in God. But He wants to reveal more of the heart of the Father to us. That's why He says, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you, because you don't have an orphan spirit anymore. You have a spirit that is alive and well inside of you. You are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. And I'm sometimes amazed as we travel that we come across folks that are still orphans when they don't fully understand the love that God has for them. And I want to encourage you, if you're struggling with any area in your life this morning, and you don't fully understand the love, the capacity of the love that God has for you, get some prayer ministry. You know, God wants to set us free to walk in the liberty which Christ obtained for us through the power of the Spirit. It's a beautiful, invitation to you and I to walk in the fullness of God. And it's available to us. It's a surrender of life. And I've learned that as I've walked with God through the process, that it's the ability that I have to fully submit myself to the Lord and allow Him and welcome Him into my life to work in my heart, that things change and I change and circumstances change, not because they've changed, but because I've changed. And I know that the Holy Spirit is in the process of perfecting the bride. No spot, no wrinkle you know, we're getting all those things. Normally the ladies say amen at that point. But, you know, he's ironing us out. He's straightening us out so that we become the bride and we become adorned with the beauty that God has got for us. So just I want you to hear something recently that happened to me. And it goes around what Peter spoke about in Acts 2, 17 and 18 when he said, you know, the Holy Spirit will come upon us. He's being poured out on all flesh. One morning about 3 o'clock in the morning, and often it's a time that I encounter God in those early hours of the morning. And I was asleep and half awake, half asleep. Linda says I'm like that most of the time. But anyway, I could suddenly start smell. I was waking up and I could smell something burning while I'm lying in bed. And the intensity of the smell, woken me. And I realized that there was a fire around me. The heat suddenly got hotter and hotter around me. And I woke up fully and I was convinced that I was in the midst of a fire. So I jumped up out of bed. I looked at the alarm clock next to me. I thought, maybe that's burning. Maybe it's my computer. It wasn't. So I jumped out. I ran around to the other side of the bed to see if something was burning on Linda's side. Nothing there. So I thought, it must be in the kitchen. And I shot through to the kitchen to look at the stove, and the oven wasn't on. The stove wasn't on. I looked at the TV. That wasn't burning. Maybe it should have been, but it wasn't. And I walked back to the bedroom. And when I got back to the bedroom, Linda said to me, "You have been dreaming." And I said to Linda, "This is more than a dream." And as I sort of got back onto the bed and I started saying, "Lord, what are you saying to me?" The first thing I heard from the Lord was, "I am a consuming fire." Hebrews 12, 29. And I suddenly realized that God was talking to me about a burning taking place right in my heart, in my life. And suddenly I was in that place where the Lord was talking to me about my life. And I want to just share some things with you because they're very relevant to the promise of the Father. The Holy Spirit at times comes upon us and He reveals something of our lives that, you know, can really bring us to a new focal point in what God is saying to us. And, you know, when I lay down on the bed, I realized that Deuteronomy 4, 23 and 24 is that same scripture that's referred to in Hebrews. And it says in this scripture, "Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you, and made for yourselves a graven image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire and a jealous God." And I felt the Lord say to me, "I am jealous over your worship. I'm jealous over what you put your time into. I'm jealous over your life. I'm calling you to a greater commitment in your worship of me." And, well, you know, I thought I was already worshiping the Lord. And I just bowed my heart in a place of, prospered myself in the presence of God. And I said, "Lord, whatever it takes, I'm going to worship you with all my heart." And I realized at that moment in time that God was speaking to me about a generation. It's written in Psalm 102, 18, that it is written for a generation to come that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. And I believe we're entering into a time where there's a generation that's starting to praise God with their whole hearts and their whole being. Everything that they are will become a worshiping people. And I believe it's a promise of the Father to us that we will be worshipers in these times. And so there was a real sense of God's presence on me as I lay in that bed. And the Lord said, "I'm looking for worshipers that will worship me in spirit and in truth. The Father is seeking such a people that will worship Him in spirit and in truth." And the presence of God was on me because the Lord was speaking to me about opening my heart to a full expression of who He is. You know, to worship Him because He's God Almighty, the great I Am, the Lord Almighty, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the God that we love and we serve. He said, "I want that worship. I'm jealous over your worship. I'm jealous over what you give your time to." And I had to say, "Lord, forgive me for not giving you a full expression of my time in what I'm doing. Because sometimes we can get so caught up in what we do and don't give enough time to seek the Lord in what He's called us to do. In other words, seek my face. Don't seek my hands. Give me, Lord. Heal my toe, heal my finger, heal my cat, heal my dog. No, the Lord said, seek my face. Seek me in the fullness of what I have for you. And so I'm learning that this thing is really, you know, God is working on us to get us to respond in worship in an amazing way. So, you know, it says in John 4:23-24, but the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Amen. What a beautiful... You see, the lady at the well, the Samaritan woman, understood that, you know, when she, you know, was interacting with Jesus. And Jesus said, yeah, there will be rivers. He spoke about rivers. You know, we often are satisfied with a trickle in our lives, but I believe the Holy Spirit has got so much more for us. Rivers of living water that run through us through the power of the Spirit. That means when we minister to people, we shift things. When we minister in the name of Jesus, deliverance and healing should take place, because that's what He's called us as disciples to demonstrate in our lifestyle and in the way we minister in His name. So the Lord starts speaking to me in these areas, and I suddenly realize that, you know, God is trying to get my attention. And often when God speaks to me in my quiet time or in my time alone, He reveals the heart, His heart. And I believe the heart of the Father is always to build us up and to give us a clear picture, like a compass of where we're going. And He spoke to me in three areas. He said, I'm going to speak to you about passion, I'm going to speak to you about presence, and I'm going to speak to you about purity. And I said, Lord, I'm all ears. I want to hear what You're saying to me, because often we have our own ideas about what the Father's saying to us by the Spirit, but He wants us to walk. I believe God's called the church today to walk in His presence and to have a burning passion for Him that is based on the purity of the promise that He has for us. Because part of the promise of the Holy Spirit is to sanctify the church. In other words, that we will have moral integrity in the things we do. The consecration of God, of us to God, works through the Holy Spirit. And He's calling His bride to be adorned in the goodness and the power of God through, you know, the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we demonstrate our lifestyle. He's saying, that's what I'm calling you to be, a different people that shines for the Lord. So I had to just say, Lord, I'm all ears. I'm open to hear from You this morning. And as I, you know, sort of contemplated this thing in the Lord likes, you know, because I go to Scripture often and I try and memorize Scripture, God reminds me, part of the Holy Spirit's ministry is to remind us about the truth of God's Word, and He reveals the Word of God to us. Why? Because it's already inside of us. So my encouragement is live in the Word. Fill yourself up with the Word, and when God wants to speak to you, He'll make those words alive to you, and they become a sword in your hand against the enemy. And I love that, because every time I spend time meditating on the Word of God, down the track, God will use that Word to sharpen me, but also to help those that are in trouble. Most times when God has spoken to me about people, about circumstances, about leaders of movements, leaders of nations, it's come out of the revelation of His Word. God highlights that Word, and the Holy Spirit says, that's the Word that's important. I want you to speak that Word. So let me encourage you that it's about our walk with God. You see, when two men were walking down the Emmaus Road, 3 days after, you know, Jesus had been crucified, and they were walking, and a man joined them on the road, and they didn't recognize who it was. And they walk and they spoke about the things that had happened. And they said, have you not heard a certain report of a lady that had seen Jesus, that Jesus was alive and he's been resurrected from the dead and he's amongst us? And the stranger, you know, didn't say anything to them, but it says in Luke 24, when they came together and they broke bread, it says their eyes were opened and their hearts were burning from the encounter they had because they saw Jesus. You know, sometimes we're on the road and it can be a rough road and we don't encounter the Lord, but there comes a time on that road where we encounter Him. Suddenly our eyes are opened and our hearts burn with a desire to serve God. And I believe that's the passion that the Lord's speaking to us about. The passion that comes, you see, when a man came to Jesus and said to Him, what is the most important commandment that I can have? And Jesus said to him that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all you will be, all you can be. Love your neighbor as yourself. You see, if we make that our first priority is loving God, that's a passion that will burn in us, a passion that will cause you and I to do great things and help people, help the underdog, help those that need help. Why? Because the love of God is resident in us. And there's a passion, I believe, that God is releasing in the body of Christ today that is going to cause us to do unusual things because we love God. And the Holy Spirit is the one that ignites that passion in us as we submit ourselves to Him, to walk with Him, to listen to Him. And at the end of our obedience, He says, there will be a miracle. And I've learned many times that it's in the obedience to God that the miracle is the evidence of what I've seen and heard. Amen. So let's be open to the Holy Spirit, because this process of the fire of God that is on us that I've experienced, it says this in 1 Peter 4:12, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. So sometimes I've learned the fiery trial is the very thing that God's learning, teaching me in my life. You see, many of us know that the Olympic Games have started, but before the Games started, somebody ran from Olympia in Greece, and they carried the torch to where the Games are in Rio de Janeiro today. They carried that torch. I have that picture for the church. It's interesting that Sue nearly had a medal to give us, but we didn't quite get there. But we carry the torch. Amen. Paul says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run? We all run, folks. But one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. So that torch that we carry is to ignite others into the fullness of God. He's called you to carry a torch that shines even brighter today. Not only the light of the Lord, but there's something about the Holy Spirit in us that ignites others into the fullness of Jesus. That I want to encourage you, find time to pray for people. Find time to minister to people. Sometimes in supermarkets, I look for that opportunity because there can be a God moment that I don't want to miss. And I say, can I pray for you? Most people say, please do. Pray for me. I need it. And we all need it. But let's be open to this fire that God is talking to us about. You see, we are becoming a different people. We are living sacrifices acceptable to God, Romans 12:1. Why? Because we are not conformed to the world. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that comes through Word and Spirit. Get into the Word and the Spirit of God will lead you into all truth. You see, we are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, that's called to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God in Christ Jesus. That's who we are, a special people. You see, I'm convinced when I read in the Bible in Titus 2:14, it says, you are a peculiar people. I've learned that as I've traveled in the church, there's some peculiar people. Some versions call it special people. But I want to say that our Father has a peculiar love for His people. He has a peculiar grace upon them. And when I look at that, I say, Lord, thank you. There are such amazing people in the body of Christ. Use them and stretch them to the full extent to which you've called them. Most of us don't like stretching, but let me suggest this to you. The measure that the Bible talks about is a meter, but God often stretches us. And when you've been stretched, you don't go back to your original state. You can be stretched further. Each time God moves you and gives you a greater opportunity to be used by Him, He stretches you a bit further. And you break new ground. And every time you break new ground, you have confidence to walk on the ground that you've just been through. You've broken through to another level in God. And I believe that's what God's showing us by the Spirit. Let's walk in a greater authority upon our lives. Let's walk in the power of the Spirit. You see, when Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, suddenly boldness came upon him. And in his first sermon during that week, 8,000 people came to the Lord. Something had shifted and changed in that man's life. And God is giving us the same opportunity today to walk in the ways of the Spirit in a unique way. So I'm learning something about the Holy Spirit in a unique way, and I want to just encourage you in that. Let's be engulfed by the divine grace of Jesus Christ in our lives. When the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost, the indwelling of the Spirit came upon them. There was something of a fire that burnt in their hearts and in their lives, and it never went out. If you look at the history of and you read about the disciples, most of the disciples of the 12 lost their lives for what they believed. They were crucified. They died, with a message that was worth dying for. So you and I are called with an amazing message. We're called to serve the Lord in an amazing way that, you and I will know confidently and boldly that this is God's call upon our lives. A cause greater than ourselves is what God has called us to. Amen. So let's be open to this, because often we have the theology, but we don't have the practice. And the practice is getting out there and letting the Lord use you to build this church and to have a spiritual understanding, a passion that burns in your life. I believe that a sermon should have three elements. One should be a wooing of the Spirit. The second should be, a wonder. I wonder what God is doing. And then thirdly, there should be a warning in our scripture. And one of the things that I want to, say to you is I just want to find my scripture here in Revelations. I believe the Lord talks to the church in Revelation, and I want to reveal this to you. It's a warning to us in Revelation 3:15-22. He said, "I know your works, that they are neither hot nor cold. I could wish you were neither hot nor cold. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth, because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have no need of anything. And do you not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked?" And then he says this, very important. He says, "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that your shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see." So my prayer is for us that we will see more of the Lord's work in our lives and invite Him to do some of that refining in our hearts. The refining fire of God does something to you. Every now and then, as we've walked with the Lord doing what we do, we encounter Him in a deeper way. And sometimes it's a burning that comes on us. And I believe the Holy Spirit is doing that more and more. So we don't have to rely on ourselves. We walk with Him in a very unusual way. I just want to finish off my sermon this morning by saying one thing to you. And the men that had been with Jesus, Peter and John, it says when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. They marveled at what was going on in their lives. It says, and they realized that these men had been with Jesus. That's my prayer for us, that people marvel at what's going on, not because of our education, but the fact that we spend time with Jesus, and that the works that He does, that He promises that we can do also, but even greater works than that is possible for us because we believe. You see, there were three men that encountered the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three men were challenged by the local authorities and the king of the day to say when this golden statue is made and when the lute and the band and the chorus play, you will bow down and you will worship this image. The world wants us to worship idols today. The world system is calling you and I to bow down. But these three men give us a picture. They said to the king, we will not bow down. Even if our God does not deliver us, we will not bow down. Even if. And sometimes we've got to say that. Even if this doesn't work out well, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to keep going on for God. And we know that the king got very annoyed with these three men. And he stirred up the fire seven times hotter. He called his strongest men out, said, bind them up, throw them into the fire. And when they went into the fire, they weren't in there long. The king saw the fourth man in the fire, the Lord Jesus, the commander of the armies of God. And he jumped up and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out of that fire. I see your God has delivered you from the fiery furnace. And you see, I believe that God wants to deliver us from the fiery furnace, even though sometimes we don't understand the furnace or the fire that we go into. And when those three men came out of the fire, the only thing that was burnt in their lives were the bonds, the ropes that were binding them up. God wants to burn up anything of the world that is binding us to the world system. He wants to loose us from every bondage that is causing you and I to be bound. And those three men were a testimony. The king changed the rules. He changed the command that you will bow down and worship the Lord Jesus, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You see, the time is coming when the world's going to see the rising of the church in authority in the name of the Lord. But there are times of persecution. God's getting us ready. But we can't be bound to the world system. We've got to be free, like those bonds were burnt up and set free from our lives. I believe that's the work of the Holy Spirit in the church today. Anything that's binding us and keeping us connected to the world system or to any bondage that has kept you in captivity, he wants to loose you from that today, that you are free to walk in the knowledge and the promises of the Father, that he will come and minister to you by the Holy Spirit. So let me encourage you, church. There's much more coming for us. Let's press in for it and believe God for what he's doing right now in this church, in our lives. And he's getting us ready to be mighty men and women, champions, ambassadors for the Lord Jesus. What a privilege we have as a people to experience that. Amen. So press into that in God. So we bless you today. And I know there'll be time to do some ministry as the day goes through, as the morning goes through, and we'll pass over to Sue. Thank you.